In the movies these days, Jane Austen is being unceremoniously nudged aside by the Bard. Film versions of Romeo and Juliet, Twelfth Night, and Richard III are currently in the theaters, and Kenneth Branagh's four-hour movie of Hamlet is scheduled for release at Christmas time. Book critic Maureen Cargan considers whether all this cinematic sound and fury signifies nothing or something singular about Shakespeare.
If Shakespeare could have seen my fellow moviegoers at last Saturday's matinee of Romeo and Juliet, he would have been delightfully reminded of the groundlings, the peasants and prostitutes who stood through performances of his plays at the Globe Theater. Like the notoriously unruly groundlings, the teenaged girls who filled the movie theater chattered, ate, giggled, and cried their way through the entire show. Every time Romeo, pouty Leonardo DiCaprio, appeared on screen, they whispered to each other, "He's so cute!" And during the climactic double suicide scene, the actors' lines were all but drowned out by the noise of near-universal sniffling. I loved how those girls completely gave themselves over to the pathos of the play, and I wanted to share their emotions, but I couldn't. It's an age thing. As the distinguished literary critic Frank Kermode once said of Romeo and Juliet, youth in the play is a separate nation. To suit Shakespeare's tragedy about young lovers to a young audience, director Baz Luhrmann has given it a jittery postmodern look. I liked some of his witty updatings, like having the action take place in Verona Beach, Florida. But the actor's high schoolish delivery made me cringe. Here, for example, is a snippet where Romeo's men are discussing the challenge to his life issued by his rival, Tybalt.
Tybalt hath sent a letter to his father's house.
A challenge on my life.
Romeo will answer it?
Any man that can write may answer a letter.
Nay, he will answer the letter's master, how he dares being dared.
Well, alas, poor Romeo, he is already dead!
5 minutes into line readings like that, and I was longing for a snortful of that sleeping potion that temporarily put Juliet out of her misery. Romeo and Juliet, like the other two Shakespeare films out now, Twelfth Night and Looking for Richard, grapples with the familiar question of how to make the Bard relevant. Of course, Shakespeare wasn't always treated with such trepidation. In 19th century America, scenes from Shakespeare were performed in mining camps and on riverboats. His plays were considered popular entertainment. But with the cunning stealthiness of Lear's daughters, academics gradually laid claim to the kingdom of Shakespeare and convinced the public that they wouldn't properly understand his work without scholarly intervention. With his high-concept interpretation of Romeo and Juliet, Luhrmann bridges the distance between the Bard and his teenaged audience. Twelfth Night takes a more traditional approach. Director Trevor Nunn only tinkers with that play to the extent of setting it in Victorian times. Otherwise, his British actors speak in regulation iambic pentameter. This Shakespeare film doesn't defer to the audience. The audience must rise to its challenges, which I happily did. And then there's my hands-down favorite, Al Pacino's Looking for Richard, a self-conscious movie about how Pacino and a bunch of New York actors struggle to understand Richard III. Pacino behaves like an obsessed hard-boiled detective, turning over textual clues, slowly repeating lines of dialogue, and dramatizing scenes in order to let the dead speak for themselves. Looking for Richard reminded me of one of the many reasons why Shakespeare is so amazing, because he's on to us. Every desire, every shameful variant of self-deceit is contained within his plays. Grappling with their difficulty, you have the sense that you're grappling with the messy, complex meaning of human identity. Those girls who watched Romeo and Juliet with me probably wouldn't put the play's attractions in those terms. But the movie version got to them, which is more than I can say about my own early encounters with Shakespeare. In college, I scrawled the question, "Why is Shakespeare so boring?" on the cover of Henry V. I keep that incriminating paperback to remind myself that the Bard isn't sacred, and I always wasn't such a staunch admirer of his work. But one day, while I was reading A Midsummer Night's Dream, I yawned and inhaled some fairy dust. And the world hasn't looked the same since.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.